With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I love China.
Who doesn't? Hey, we're here. Not. Oh, hit that one again.
These nuts.
That's our guy Snoop, Immigrove Heights' own.
How did that work out with, what is Snoop's real name again?
Calvin Brodus.
That's right. That is Cal. We're tight on the show, Cal. How did it work out with Snoop in town?
I never saw him, but there was big talk in the Southeast Metro that Snoop Dogg had rented out a couple of floors at I don't know which hotel. There's two hotels right there at 55th, Upper 55th and Highway 52.
Okay.
And he had rented out a couple of floors, and apparently he was made himself very available to the local, I know we're going to be talking pizza, but Old World Pizza, which is fantastic.
Oh,
pizza.
Yeah.
He was at Old World Pizza.
It.
Apparently he was at Applebee's there.
Yeah, you text me.
And the good restaurant there, B52, which has pretty good burgers.
Another place recommended by you to me, and the one time I went, the burger, I forget which one I had. It was fabulous.
Yeah.
I really liked it. We are going to talk pizzas. We can even just mention that, and then I got one news nugget. And then I want to get to Olympics. But today is National Pizza Day.
Not one pizza in the place. Oh, really?
Wait, talking to Mike Lindsay. That's no.
Oh, I know.
One. It might be number one radio pet peeve for me when.
Well, it's coming.
Thank you.
Do we have pizza coming?
That's the rumor.
Oh, I just ate a big lunch, but you know, to be the team player, I'll probably have more, right, Adam? You'll probably have more. So, what is your top pizza place? We're going to talk about 135, but you can text right now 8187. Your top pizza place in the world. We're not just narrowing it down to the metro. The world or Facebook. We'd love you to chime in there. Facebook.com/Chad Hartman Show. There have been rumors that Tim Pawlenty has met or was going to meet with prominent Republicans. I now have confirmation from two sources that the former governor is having a meeting in downtown Minneapolis this upcoming Monday. Actually, very close to our location without giving all the details. Part of what the governor's saying is I'm looking forward to the discussion regarding how we might work together to ensure the future is bright. So Governor Pawlenty and his people, our guy McClung probably still a part of that. I'm sure Brian would not respond to this. But Governor Pawlenty is going to have a meeting. He has reached out to a number of people who are prominent Republicans, who are donors, who are movers and shakers within the party. And this may be, Adam, one in a series. This might be the first. This might be one of the biggest. I don't know. But I know this is absolute confirmation from two sources that the governor is having a meeting, the former governor, and he is trying to get people excited and get people behind him. Clearly wants to see how far certain people are willing to go and what the reaction is listening to him. How much of this will be a back and forth, I don't think we know. But there has been a lot of very positive response, I'm told, from one of these sources about the governor jumping into the race. And many people were looking for their big name, and they feel like he is now that name. My father, an interview with him, 12:35, a story on Hennepin County and opioids. That is at 1:10. The pizza conversation at 1:35. Tom Delmonico.
Intrepid. Old school.
I would say one of the most recognizable and respected
reporters. Hard-boiled.
Hard-boiled. Hard-scrabbled. Maybe he plays Scrabble. I don't know.
I would bet he does.
I probably does. He's probably very good at it. Sometimes our words concern us. He will be
old school. Yeah, kind of that.
Will he be in Pyeongchang? Will he be? Do we know where he is?
I'm told that he is covering the Olympic Games.
All right, so he's one of our correspondents.
He's our correspondent. He's our correspondent.
All right, excellent. James Holman from the Washington Post. We got a lot for you today. Here he is, the man who's looking for pizza, like me. All right, I'll jump in here because we're going to start our Olympic coverage. We are starting our Olympic coverage multiple ways. For the second straight Olympics, we have each been assigned a country and a sport. Now, we took out the big knockers. As Adam said the other day, USA, Canada, I think that was it. So we went with more obscure countries and more obscure sports. Adam has, let's see if I can remember this, Ireland and skeleton? Is that right?
Women's skeleton.
Women's skeleton. Lindsay has Brazil. And then, Lindsay, what was your sport again that you had?
I think it was the two-man luge. I had kind of forgot about it. I hadn't forgot about it. I just forgot who my teams were.
It's going to be tougher to report on it if we don't know the countries or the sports. And I have Lithuania, and I have mixed doubles curling. I'm going first.
Good.
I am going first.
Well, give me a chance to get up to speed.
Hello, I told both of you guys we're going to do this today.
Emotional.
Tension. I like this, and but joy, too. Here's my headline. Controversy has already hit at the Winter Olympics in mixed doubles curling. Ooh. I've got controversy. Okay. First session of the round robin matches between China and Switzerland. Two longtime curling rivals, Lindsay and Adam. So they entered the final part of the regulation. Switzerland was up 5-4. After the final stone, it wasn't clear whether China had added a point to tie the match or 2 points for the win. China clearly picked up 1 point from the stone in the middle. The question was whether the second stone was closer. The normal procedure is to move the stone out of the way and then measure. But things got weird, Adam. The red stone is up against the yellow stone. Both men for each team reached to move the red stone at the same time. And there was a feeling that the yellow stone might have moved.
Ooh.
Complicating matters. Like golf or pickup game of basketball, the competitors make their own rulings. Did you know that?
I did not.
Lindsay, did you know that?
I did not.
Right?
No.
That it's not a judge that the competitors, they went to the replay, and after it was reported the middle stone had moved, it was deemed that the match would continue. China conceded the point. They went to overtime, and Switzerland, in the first controversy of the Olympics, won. I got another one for you. Canada, there were seven other teams in the mixed doubles curling here. When the bus got lost going to the event.
You're kidding me.
Got lost going to the event, and they barely had time to warm up. If you're wondering who's leading right now, Switzerland, off this controversial victory over China. Could you give me the president, China?
China.
They just routed us the other day. We were up 3-1, and you know we acted like? The Wild.
Yeah.
We acted like the Wild against the Coyotes because we're up 3-1, and we get beat 7-4. That is my first Olympic update. Adam and Lindsay, are you prepared?
I'm prepared.
Yes.
Of course, Skellen won't take place for a few days.
Okay.
So we're watching the progress there.
Sure.
And Ireland, they've got five competitors at this year's Winter Games. Two in alpine skiing, one in cross-country skiing.
Lack of preparation.
One in freestyle skiing and one in snowboarding. They haven't competed yet.
Yeah,
there's
true.
No update.
That's true. Okay. Lindsay?
Brazil has competed in 7 Winter Games. This will be their 8th, and they've never medaled. And Victor Santos is going to attempt to be the first Brazilian to win a gold at the Winter Olympic Games in, get this, cross-country skiing. So the title of this article is From the Brazilian Slums to Pyeongchang Slopes.
Oh, I love it.
This cross-country skier learned to roller ski on the streets of one of Sao Paulo's favelas, which is a social slum, so to speak. But it was a project run by 2-time Winter Olympian Leandro Rabella. So basically, to try and get people into the sport. Obviously, there's a lack of snow in Brazil.
Yeah, it's tough.
So they've never medaled in any of the Winter Game appearances, and this guy is going to be the first to do it.
He hopes. Yeah.
That's the plan as of right now.
Now, that's a much better update. I mean, Adams was...
Ireland has not won a medal in the Olympic Winter Games, so we're hoping for the best. Sláinte, my Irish friends.
Very nice. All right. More.
We got to
talk to
TV. Huh?
More Olympic nuggets in moments. It's 20 past 12. All right. More Olympic nuggets. We'll continue to give you periodic updates.
Look at that. Mr. Universal comes up. Isn't that what they call it? Mr. Universe?
What is he?
Mr. Worldwide.
Worldwide. That's right. How is Mr. Bull doing? Is he come out with anything recently? I mean, he's still Mr. 305. We know that. Is it over for Pitt? Did he peak Carter like 5 years ago, or are we doubting Pitbull?
I think we're doubting Pitbull.
Yeah,
he's got staying power.
I believe he actually does. Okay, so there's a lot of talk about these heated coats, right? Because the opening ceremony's already happened. You'll get to watch them tonight. I think we've talked about this before. Why aren't heated coats more commonplace? Why shouldn't we have that as an option? By the way, my father's newest obsession is my gray winter coat that I've had for I don't remember how long. He now thinks, he calls it a snider. It's a spider. And he asks me about it, like 10 questions about it every time I see him. And to be honest, it's no different than 98% of every winter coat you see. I like it, but is it that unique, Adam?
No.
It's fine. I mean, I like it, but why aren't heated winter coats more common like the Olympic athletes have to stay warm?
Because I think modern technology now, we've got these, down coats that trap your body heat and they're kind of self-heated. I mean, you're heated by your own body.
So in other words, with your winter coat, if as an accoutrement, it had a little button where you could push it and it brought heat into your coat, you wouldn't want that? Because count me in 100%. I would love to have that.
Yeah, I guess that'd be nice.
Yeah. Would you pay a little extra for it?
Sure, especially for hunting, deer hunting. Absolutely. That'd
exactly.
be fantastic.
Right? Lindsay, would you pay a little extra to have the heat built into your winter coat?
I'd have to be someone who was more active in winter. Because just to walk from my car to work, no. But if I were a hunter or if I liked... I mean, I do like skiing. I just am not... I don't do it frequently enough. Now, if it were running gear, like not a full winter coat, but if you could have, something that was sleek
sure.
and had some heat in it, for sure.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I park about 4 or 5 blocks away. I would like to have that heated coat going forward.
But in fairness, you park like 2 blocks from the Skyway.
But I don't take the Skyway all the time.
But you have the option.
I do have the option.
There's your heated coat.
Yeah. Wow. I'm coming. I'm trying to push this Thomas Edison-like idea, and you're pouring cold water on a heated coat. I could get electrocuted with these words. I mean,
I don't think that's how the heated coat would work. I'm just saying. I don't think.
You don't think it'd be an outlet I would be connected to and there'd be like a certain limit to how far I could go?
I mean, we'd all like that. Just like Chad gets 50 feet. That's it. That's the only place he can go.
Be like the dog fence, right, Carter? Be like, okay, there's just a little bit of a limit. North Korea forbidden from Samsung's Olympic swag. So they're giving out the Galaxy Note 8 to all Olympians and officials. North Korea They have decided that their athletes and their officials cannot accept this. Athletes from Iran, also under UN sanctions, won't receive the special edition phones either. This is not the first time that North Korea has missed out on free devices from Samsung. The country sports also turned down the Rio theme phones too, because this is tied to the UN sanctions. Are you okay with that, Carter? Because to me, UN sanctions are powerful. North Korea should face strong sanctions. But for the athletes who are now participating in the event, who are encouraged to participate in the event, they shouldn't be punished because their leader is a madman.
Yeah, I agree.
Right? Come on.
Seems unfair.
It does seem unfair. We talked about this briefly the other day, where the Olympics on the U.S. side is trying to have the team more representative to America. In other words, guess what? Not as white. And they weren't quotas. They weren't requirements. You weren't going to have the better score, Lindsay and Adam, but you're a white person and a person of color gets to go. But shockingly, a Fox News executive is fired up about this. Talked about the motto, which once was faster, higher, stronger. It appears the Olympic Committee would like to change that to darker, gayer, and different. More astute judgment from John Moody. There's significantly more diversity, we know, in the Summer Olympics. If you are trying to bring greater access, greater exposure, greater opportunities to more people in this country who could potentially participate in the event, Adam, help me out. What the hell is wrong with that?
Nothing.
I mean, this guy really believe it, or is this just hot take? I want to get hits, and let's go with it. This is a, this is an executive who came out with this. Is that where we're at right now? But we're so hyper partisan charged that if the Olympic Committee, which isn't part of the Olympic Committee's charge to expose potential Olympic opportunities to as many people as possible, that if you do this, you're too PC.
It's just, it's an easy argument to fall back on. It's easy red meat for especially Fox viewers. And
yeah. It's catnip, right?
And it also fuels this whole idea that these people that look different from this man, that they don't deserve to be there. You know, the idea that their talent didn't get them there. It was that the color of their skin, right, or that they're, you know,
a white man is, the man is just more, you know,
held down,
holding us back.
I just don't know.
Really rough for you here in America, Adam, and you're very. He looks very nice today.
He does.
Looks very J. Crew-esque.
Yeah,
I like it.
Thank you.
Can we call you Jay the rest of the show?
J. Crew, Jay Peterman.
Yeah,
Crew. Crew is very East Coast.
I just don't know how the white man ever survives in America. I mean, all the obstacles against the white man, I just don't know how that person survives. 32 past 12. Crew coming up with a news update. Welcome back, everybody, here on WCCO. Sid and Chad Hartman with you. The Vikings make news. They land their offensive coordinator. They land DeFilippo, who's had a number of jobs the last year. He was the quarterback coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. We were talking before. Here's my question. If you have Doug Peterson, who's the head coach, and he's calling plays, if you have Frank Reich, who is the offense coordinator, who is well thought of, how influential was this man with the Eagles' success last year?
Well, I think that Zimmer and Rick Spielman, they must have thought that the guy has great ability. A lot of people thought he was going to take the Colts job, but apparently they didn't interview him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have taken the Viking job. But that's the guy they wanted. They thought he was the best guy for the job. He was a quarterback coach, so it must have had something to do with Folt being so successful. You got to give him credit for that. So on the basis of that, that he coached Folt and got him to play so well, that it was a pretty good guy.
Well, we were talking before, and you think a part of it is that Zimmer wanted to hear from this guy about why the Eagles had so much success against the Vikings. I personally differ, but explain on that a little bit.
I think it's a factor, not the big factor, but I think his offense made the Viking defense look terrible. And he had something to do with putting that offense together. And I'm sure that's one thing they'll talk about. I'm not saying the reason they hired him is that reason, but I think that's one first thing they'll talk about. How did you take us apart?
So if you could have had any of the potential offensive coordinators out there, Daryl Bevel, Kevin Stefanski, other names, do you think the Vikings hired the best guy out there?
I think they hired the best guy on the basis of his record. They had a fantastic offense. They won the Super Bowl. The guy's got something, good reputation, and we'll see what happens. I think the Vikings will need a good offense next year, a very good offense. I just think their schedule is going to be murder. They got to play at Philadelphia. Got to play at New England. They got to play at Seattle. It's just a tough schedule. And I think they'll need a good offensive coordinator.
As we are talking right now, finishing the first week of February, who do you think will be the Vikings' starting quarterback next year? And is that person the starting quarterback for next year, or is he the starting quarterback for the next 3-4 years?
I think he'll be the quarterback, Keenan, for the next 3-4 years. I got to know him pretty well and did a lot of interviews with him. His wife loves it here. He loves it here. He has a good relationship with all the players that he knows what he can do with them. It makes sense that he comes back another year with this team on an offense that he did a very good job leading.
Are you prepared? Let's say if it's 3-4 years, are you prepared? Did you see enough out of Keenum to give him a contract where you're going to guarantee him $50, $60, $70 million?
I think they'll give him a lot of money for the 3-4 year contract, and I think he wants to stay here. But what happened, that San Francisco quarterback got so much money, but he proved he could do something with a lousy team. He won 5 straight games.
Yeah.
And they were so terrible, they were a lot more desperate for a quarterback than even the Vikings do.
I think Garoppolo, personally, this is just my silly view, I think he's going to be great. But I think it's stunning that he's started 7 games and he's guaranteed 90-some million dollars.
It's unbelievable.
That's amazing.
They were a losing team, and he made him a winner. So they had
For 5 games.
Huh?
For 5 games, he made him a winner.
For 5 games. Well, the thing is that he was a free agent.
Yeah.
They had to pay him the money if they wanted to have him.
You're right. All right, let's talk about the Timberwolves. The Wolves are in Chicago tonight. That means Jimmy Butler goes back. So does Taj Gibson, but we're going to just talk about the trade right now. Butler goes back. He's been fantastic. Zach LaVine came back about a month ago or so. He's been about a guy who's coming back from major injury, but we both think he's going to be a very good player. Dunn has been much better. Markkanen, the kid they took with the draft choice, has been good. I think both teams are very happy how this trade worked out.
I think that's a trade that worked out well for both teams. Certainly those three guys are going to help the Bulls, and certainly Butler has helped the Timberwolves. But I think the Bulls, a lot of people thought when the Bulls made the trade, it was a terrible trade to get rid of Butler. But I think as it turned out, the Bulls are very happy with what happened for them.
I said at the time with Oz, I thought the Bulls took way too much heat. The Bulls had to reinvent their team. Even if they kept Butler, they were maybe a borderline playoff team. Maybe. So get three young guys. You weren't going to get another younger superstar, inexpensive superstar for Jimmy Butler. If you wanted a superstar, you would have kept Jimmy Butler. Now, we have to factor in Justin Patton, who the Wolves took with the draft choice. He's been hurt. He's had a little bit of a nagging injury lately. It hasn't been, I don't think it's viewed as severe. But we don't know what type of player he is, so we can't forget about him when we're evaluating this trade.
Well, if this guy, Patton, turns out to be a pretty good player, maybe he'll give a little edge to the Timberwolves. But so far, he hasn't contributed anything. And now he got hurt again, I guess, and he's out for a while. The same guys are always hurt again. Like Bud Grandin will say, durability is more important than ability. If you're the greatest player in the world, you can't play, it's no good.
Yeah, but I mean, when this kid, he's a kid, it's his same injury. So I'm not willing to say he's chronically injured yet. It's too soon. Okay, trades. There were so many trades yesterday.
What about Cleveland? What do you like about their trades?
Well, I think they had to do something. Okay? The group they had wasn't good enough. The group they had, I don't think, was good enough to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. So they're younger. They're different. They're more expensive. But they need to try to do the best they can with LeBron this year, not just this year, but to keep him down the line. And if they didn't make a change, they weren't going very far at all in the playoffs, and then he leaves.
What happened to Thomas? He was such a great player with the Celtics. What happened to him? How come all of a sudden Cleveland gets rid of him? And I couldn't figure that thing out.
Well, it's a fair question. But you look at where he was last year when he was a legitimate MVP candidate. They ran the offense totally through him. He had the ball all the time. Then he suffers the significant hip injury. I'd say, one, he doesn't look healthy. And two, it was a perfect fit in Boston. And three, he doesn't work with LeBron. He needs to have the ball all the time, so he wasn't the right fit. But let me ask you this. Tell the story about one of your favorite trades that you made with the Lakers, and then I'm not sure if this was legal or not. Adam Silver might have to listen to this interview if he knows truly what you did in this trade.
Well, we needed an outside shooter. They're old. Backing into Mike and making it tough for him. And Rochester, our big rival, had a very good shooter by the name of Pep Saul, S-A-U-L. So I called Claire B., who was running the Baltimore Bulls. I said, I'll make you a deal. I'll give you $5,000 if you make a deal to get Pep Saul, and then you trade him to us, and I'll give you another couple grand.
Did the NBA at the time know about the money?
No, they didn't know nothing about the deal. And we got Pep Saul, and all of a sudden, Mike was more wide open because this guy was hitting nothing but shots. The only problem was his wife was a pain in the rear end.
Oh.
And that didn't help too much.
Wow. Two things we've learned. You were given money illegally, and Pep Saul's wife was a pain in the butt. We'll have to check that out. Did you enjoy the Super Bowl?
I enjoyed it. I'm glad it's over. I do think that they won't get another Super Bowl ever, probably. But I do think they did such a good job that I think they'll get other events that'll be as a result of how well they handled the Super Bowl.
That's my father. That was about an hour and a half ago as we played him at this time. A lot of times we play him at 12:35, but we had to move some, or 2:35, excuse me, but we had to move some guests around. So I thank him for the flexibility. 12:49. That is our Lindus Construction Time Check. Time to improve the look of your home with Infinity by Marvin Windows. All right, I had lunch, I don't know, 11-ish. Then the great folks from Aurelius brought in pizza, National Pizza Day, and I feel like they pressured me into eating pizza. I mean, this is very similar to the hamster story in the airlines, right? I mean, I didn't want to eat the pizza, but it's good. It's National Pizza Day, and I'm now consuming it. It's not my fault, is it, Lindsay, that I'm now having my second lunch in like an hour and a half?
I mean, I don't know if it's your fault. I mean, yeah. Will Smith had a great video this week talking about fault and responsibility.
Really?
How about, it could be someone else's fault that there's pizza in the building, but it's your responsibility how you react to the pizza being in the building. It actually, it was
good.
It was very well done.
Here's what I would say to Will Smith. How about make a good movie? It's been 20 years.
He's what rolling happened? In his money laughing at you.
I know, but honestly, he hasn't made a good movie.
Hitch was good.
But I bet Hitch was...
2006?
Yeah, I was going to say it's over a decade ago. I mean, think about the stretch he had when it was guaranteed either Memorial Day or July 4th. Whatever, it's going to make, you know, $500 million no matter what. He made a lot of dogs.
Bright is doing well on Netflix. It's not really my type of movie.
And the reviews have been terrible.
Well, it's got a sequel coming.
Right. But I saw a story on it where they're saying a lot of people are getting it, but that the review, and then we have that conversation again, do reviews, you know, really matter? We can have that debate. So repeat what Will said again.
It was a video about the difference between fault and responsibility.
Okay.
So let's say, what's a good example?
Well, the pizza example. You nailed it.
Pizza example, or...
So it is, but the phrasing was, again...
It could be someone else's fault, and you can still blame them, but that's not going to change the fact that it's your responsibility to handle how you react to it.
Hmm.
Like, you could have had a bad upbringing. That's someone else's fault. But it's your responsibility to change it from that point moving forward.
Oh, that's another good one.
I mean, it really was.
Yes, it's true.
Very poignant and very spot on. And
right.
I think we all know those things, but sometimes you need to be reminded.
Where is he at with Scientology? Is he still outspoken on that? Aren't they Scientologists?
I don't think so.
Maybe I'm wrong on that. Go to the Google. I thought they were. Maybe that Will, Jaden, and the kids.
I think she might be.
She might be?
I had never, I don't know.
Yeah.
I had never heard that. Going back to free food in the office.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was thinking of, that you said it wasn't your fault. I always say the hardest.
I'm joking, of course. Right?
The hardest part about trying to eat healthy and trying to work out and you know, live a balanced life is working in this office. Because here's the thing. I love pizza, so I'm not using pizza as an example. But I'm not a huge sweets person.
Yep.
But if there are donuts in the kitchenette,
yep.
It doesn't even matter if I don't want the donut. I feel like I have to eat the donut.
How come?
Because there's something, I think, when it comes to free food, most people have a weird connection to.
Free, free, free.
It's free. It's free, and I don't know where my next meal's coming from. I should probably have this donut now just to make sure that what if no food is ever available again? This could be my last donut.
Okay, I'd say here compared to iHeart, because when I work for, DGY, Fan, and now the Fan obviously switched to FM, but the first place, we were at 611 Frontenac. Just a total dump. A beautiful location, but the building was a dump. So we were around no food, right? Then went to Bloomington, where you're on some food. And then I was at the Fan before West End was built, right? So there was a D. Brian's in there. God love you, D. Brian's, but every single day. Now when you're here and you're surrounded by the downtown options, it does test willpower. And I've said many times, willpower is dominating me. I mean, willpower is kicking my butt. Carter, how do you think you hold up against willpower? If there are things you just don't want to do. Now, I'm not talking about the serious things. Okay? I'm not talking smoking or alcohol, but just the more minor things in life that you shouldn't do, but they're very enjoyable. Might be a cocktail, might be food, whatever.
Food is a tough one, man. I used to be good at it, but the last couple of years, it's been pretty bad.
Why do you think it's different now?
I don't know.
Yeah, because I think I'm not as good as I once was. I also think it could be as we get older, we see the results a little bit more, and we're not exactly pleased all the time with the results. I'll just speak for myself on that one. Okay, we have two more hours to go. We're going to have an interesting conversation about Hennepin County and opioids and the progress they are making and some big changes they want to make. That's coming up at 1:10 right now on Adam Carter Tees and CBS.
A Minnesota congressman says he will not run for re-election. That more 108 WCCO KMNB FM HD2 Minneapolis St. Paul.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.